Hare Krishna. So today is Srimati Radharani's appearance day, Radhashtami Mahotsav. Therefore, we selected a special verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 30th chapter, The Gopi's Search for Krishna, text 28. Translation by His Divine Grace. I'm sorry, by His Divine Grace's disciples. Srila Prabhupada translated up to the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, and then a group of Prabhupada's disciples collectively continued the mission of translating, completing Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was translated mainly by, all the translations were mainly done by Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Please repeat after me. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda. Since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that the word anayaradhita refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, the sage Sukhdev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy, and thus the word aradhitaha is like the rumbling of a kettle drum, sounded to announce her great good fortune. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she has captured Sri Krishna. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti quotes the following detailed descriptions of Srimati Radharani's footprint, footprints as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Sri Ujjala Nilamani. At the base of the large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barleycorn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella, and below the umbrella is a bracelet. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large and second toes. At the base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that is a flag with a banner. And below the flag is a creeper together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goad, and upon her heel is a half moon. Thus there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of the toe of her right foot is a conch shell, and below that a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar, below that an earring, and below the earring a spear. Along the base of the second, third, fourth and small toe is the mark of a mountain, below which is a chariot, and on the hill is a fish. Thus altogether there are 19 distinguishing marks on the soles of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. This had been included in this particular verse mainly because they were following the footsteps, and they could identify Krishna's footsteps. And next to Krishna's footsteps, they could see this particular footsteps with this specific marks. which made them recognize that it was Radharani, that Krishna has left the Rasa Mandali. Krishna's feet also bears some specific marks, and that's how they recognize Krishna, the footprints of Krishna's lotus feet in the dust of Vrindavan. So, Srimati Radharani is the personification of Krishna's Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency. Krishna has innumerable potencies, but they are specified principally in three categories: Sandhini, Sambit, and Ladini. Sandhini potency is the existence aspect, Sambit is the consciousness aspect, and Ladini is the pleasure aspect. Sat, Chit, Ananda. So all of Krishna's Ananda, all of Krishna's pleasure, Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, and all the pleasure of Krishna is provided by Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Radharani's position is so special. All of Krishna's paraphernalia is supplied by Balaram. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. All of Krishna's paraphernalia articles are supplied by Balaram. Whenever Krishna needs something, it is Balaram who actually manifests himself in that form. Like Krishna needs to lie on a bed, Balaram becomes his bed. In Garbha Ocean, Krishna needed to lie in the Garbha Ocean, then Balaram became Anantashesh for Krishna to lie. In the temple, all the articles of worship for Krishna are actually expansions of Balaram or manifestations of Balaram. Like the chamara, the lamb, all the articles for worship of Krishna is actually expansions of Balaram. So in a similar way, all of Krishna's pleasure aspects are simply based on Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani manifests herself for Krishna's pleasure. Apparently, Srimati Radharani appeared as the daughter of King Vrishabhanu and Kirtidas Sundari. In Vrindavan, Krishna performs his human-like pastimes, Nara-lila. He appears as a human being, as a human child. And therefore, he takes birth. And his father is Nanda Maharaj, mother is Yashoda Mai. Similarly, Krishna's all other associates of Vrindavan also took birth in different cowherd families. And there are some very aristocratic cowherd families. One of the family is King Vrishabhanu's family. And Radharani appeared as Vrishabhanu's daughter. In Lalita Madhav drama, Srila Rupa Goswami is giving another aspect of Radharani's appearance. He is mentioning that King Vinda, the all personified Vinda mountain, became rather envious hearing that Himalaya's daughter got married to Lord Shiva. So Himalaya is a mountain, he is a mountain. Vinda mountain. So Vinda felt that he must exceed Himalaya. So his daughter got married to Lord Shiva, so he wanted to have a daughter who would be even, who will have a husband who is even greater than Lord Shiva. And as a result of that, he performed a sacrifice, he performed a lot of austerities, which led to a sacrifice conducted by all great sages. And as a result of that, he got two daughters. But soon after their birth, Putana, who was killing all the children, Putana stole these two daughters. And when she was flying through the sky, seeing the daughters have been stolen by Putana, the brahmanas in the assembly of King Vinda started to recite the Rakshashi Nidhan mantra, the mantra that would kill the Rakshashi. And being afraid of that, Putana dropped these two babies. And these two babies fell on two lotuses in the river Jamuna. And they're floating by, and King Brishabhanu found this one girl, and King Chandrabhanu found the other girl floating in the river. And Brishabhanu's, the daughter that Brishabhanu found is Radharani, and the one that Chandrabhanu found is Chandravali. So this is another aspect of Srimati Radharani's appearance that Srila Rupa Goswami described in Lalita Madhava. So Srimati Radharani is the personification of Krishna's pleasure potency. Krishna needs pleasure. Krishna is the source of all pleasure. Krishna is Anandamaya. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. But this, all the pleasure of Krishna is supplied by Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the personification of the pleasure potency. In the spiritual sky, everything is personalized. Just in the material nature, everything is material. Even our bodies are material, made of matter. Everything here is made of matter. And in the spiritual sky, everything is conscious and everything is personified. Chinmay, Chitmay, conscious world. And the consciousness comes from personality. So they are all persons. Like Krishna's pillow is a person. Krishna's bed is a person. The land of Vrindavan is person. The river Yamuna is a person who is flowing here as a river, but in the spiritual world, Yamuna is a person. In the spiritual the Ganga is a person. And these are all Krishna's associates. So in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani is considered to be the topmost of all devotees. That's why we selected this particular verse. So, Srimati Radharani, often people say, less informed people, they say that Radharani hasn't been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But here you can see how our acharyas have pointed out, no, Radharani has been mentioned. But Radharani's tattva is so exalted, and Radharani's tattva, the truth behind Radharani, the identity of Srimati Radharani is so exalted that ordinary people may not understand that. That's why she has been kept somewhat hidden in this spiritual in this presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. But time and time again, it has become revealed like it has been revealed here. Radha hasn't been mentioned, but the root of Radharani's name, why Srimati Radharani is Radha, has been revealed through this verse. Anaya Radhita, Aradhana. The word Aradhana means devotional service, worship. Aradhana. So the one who is the most expert in Aradhana is Radha. That is what it has been pointed out here. No one can compare her in service. In devotion, she is the most exalted. And she is actually the pleasure potency of Krishna. All of Krishna's pleasure is resting in her. And all the articles or individuals for Krishna's pleasure is her expansions. Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan through his loving exchange with the gopis. And all the gopis are expansions of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. All the expansions are, all the gopis are expansions of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes it seems that some gopis are competing with Srimati Radharani. For example, Chandravali. In a way, she is a competitor. She tries to take Krishna away. And it seems that it is a competition. But it is actually, she is also Radharani's expansion. Actually, she is the first expansion of Srimati Radharani. But apparently, she is a competitor. Now, why this competition? To increase this loving exchange. Love, it has been pointed out by Srila Rupa Goswami, Ahe Reva Gotir Premna. The movement of love doesn't move in straight line. Love's movement is like the movement of a serpent, like a snake, moves not in a straight line. And that is caused by obstacles. There are obstacles. Apparent obstacles actually make the loving exchange so exciting, so relishable. That is what is happening in Vrindavan. Sometimes some people think that these relationship between Krishna and the gopis of Vrindavan are inappropriate, improper. They even say that it is why Krishna acted in such a way. They think that it is not right. The moralists think that way. But the actual understanding is that Krishna is the supreme proprietor. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. Krishna owns everything. Krishna owns everybody. Everybody belongs to Krishna. So if a proprietor enjoys something, how can there be anything wrong in that? But this arrangement has been made by Yogamaya so that Krishna's this loving exchange becomes so much more relishable. The exchange, like apparently Radharani is married to somebody else. Radharani is married to Abhimanyu or Ayan. Many of the gopis are married to different cowherd boys. So it seems that the relationship between Krishna and the gopis are like a loving relationship between loving relationships with somebody else's wives. But we have to understand that this is simply to enhance the loving exchange. In this respect, There is an anecdote with Srila Prabhupada. Like Prabhupada was in Philadelphia at that time, and in Philadelphia there was a professor who was quite well-known professor those days. Like he was from India, he was a Bengali. And that person, when he came and came to meet Srila Prabhupada, he was telling Prabhupada that the same thing, that it's not right what Krishna did in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada tried to explain this point, that no, you see, like, this is Krishna's pastimes. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. For him, there is no question of moral or immoral. Whatever he does is the height of morality. And so in this way, but this person kept on arguing with Srila Prabhupada. No, it was immoral. So finally Prabhupada told him that your relationship with your wife is immoral. Because you have stolen Krishna's property and claiming that she is your wife. He shut up. And that is why Krishna's Vrindavan pastime has been kept as a secret. Like, because people, common people, less informed people will not understand. And the understanding has become clear, especially about Krishna's Madhur Leela, conjugal relationship with the gopis of Vrindavan, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very intimate associate, Vasudev Ghosh, in that respect, sang, Jodi Gaura na hoito, tabe ki hoito, kamone dhoritam dehe, premo rasho shima radharo mohima, jagote janato ke. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga, didn't come, if Jodi Gaura na hoito, if he didn't come, if he didn't manifest himself in this world, then how would I have maintained my body? Kamone dhoritam de. Premo rasho shima, the height of loving exchange. Radharo mohima, which is the glory of Srimati Radharani, who would have revealed it to this world? Had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not have come, the world couldn't understand the glory of Srimati Radharani. Mahaprabhu came to reveal the glory of Srimati Radharani, to reveal the glory of Krishna's dealings with the cowherd damsels. Madhuro brinda bipino madhuri probesho chaturi shar borojo juboti bhabero bhakoti shakoti hoito kar. Shakoti Hoitokar, who would have had that ability, the strength to understand the loving exchange between the youthful damsels of Braja. Borojo Juboti, the youthful damsels of Braja. Krishna's dealings with the youthful damsels of Braja in the forest of Vrindavan. Who would ever have understood that? So it is due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that we get to know who Srimati Radharani is. Another way of looking at it is because prior to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most of the people used to think that Krishna is an incarnation of Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Generally, in this material nature, Krishna's incarnations are expansions of Shirodakshayi Vishnu. So they used to think that, oh, Krishna is an expansion of Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Although in Bhagavatam it clearly mentions, Eti Changsho Kalapungsho Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In Bhagavatam it has been clearly mentioned after describing 22 different incarnations and mentioning that there are innumerable incarnations of Krishna, just as there are innumerable waves, uncountable waves in the ocean. There are inconceivably uncountable oceans, incarnations of Krishna. But They are ete changsha kalapumsha. They are Krishna's expansions and expansions of expansions. All these incarnations are expansions and expansions of Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not an incarnation. He is not an avatar. He is the avatari. He is the source of all incarnations. So that is, that has been revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although it is there, mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Samhita, Vishnu Jamal, Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality of God, as Godhead, has been clearly established. Govindam Adipurusham. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan. Nana Avataram Akarot Bhubaneshu Kintu. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramo Pumanjaya. Krishna has manifested himself in various incarnations like Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramo Pumanjo Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Srimati Radharani's identity has been also very beautifully explained by or revealed by through the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Mahaprabhu is asking him questions and Ramananda Roy is answering. Just like sometimes the teacher, after teaching the student, questions the student, this is something like that. Krishna is asking Ramananda Roy. Krishna instructed Arjuna, and now Krishna, as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is asking Arjuna Ramananda Roy. Okay, Ramananda, what is the goal of life? Ramananda Roy, quoting the scriptures, he said, Varnashram. Mahaprabhu rejected that. No, it's external. Karma yoga, no, external. Karma tag, no, external. He is rejecting one after another. This is how it's going to the point of devotional service. Then he said, yes. Pure devotional service, mixed devotional service. Ramananda Roy mentioned about karma mishra bhakti. Jat karosi. He was substantiating those points by quoting from scriptures. How the karma yoga is the goal of life. Jat karosi, jadasnasi, jad juhoshi dadasi, jad taposhoshi kontaya, tat kurusha madharpanam. Krishna's own word. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give in charity, etc., you should do it for me. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting that. Then coming to the point of Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Devotional service to the Lord mixed with Jnana, knowledge. Rejected that. But when it came to pure devotion, Jnana Karmad Anapritam, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. At that point he said, yes, iho hai, that's right, tell me what's beyond that. And this way, through the questions and answer, he's coming to the point of different types of devotion, santaras, dasaras, sakhyaras, vatsalaras, madhuras. He describes that, and then at that point he's saying, okay, tell me what's beyond that. Ramananda Roy's response, I didn't know that anybody could ask what's beyond that. But you have been asking and you are actually providing me with the answers. It's you who is giving the answers. So if you empower me, if you bestow your mercy, then probably I'll be able to answer that. And then in this way he is coming to the point that Krishna was dancing with 16,000 gopis. In this dance, there was one Krishna between two gopis. Krishna was between two gopis. But in the center, Krishna was dancing with one gopi alone. So that gopi must be very special. And then he pointed out that at some point, although Krishna was dancing with 16,000 gopis, this gopi became somewhat upset, and she left the Rasamandali. Krishna followed her. So for her sake, Krishna left 16,000 other gopis. So this gopi must be very special. So in this way, through this discussion, Radharani's identity became revealed. Who is, what is the glory of Srimati Radharani? Srila Sanatan Goswami also, in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in both the parts, his objective is to come to the point of establishing Radharani's identity as the greatest of all devotees. First part is describing Narad Muni's search for the greatest devotee. He is looking for the greatest devotee. He starts from a Brahmana who is worshipping in the confluence of Jamuna and Ganga in Prayag. He is so impressed with his service, the way he worshipped the Lord, Shaligram. He is very impressed. Then he goes and tells him that you are the greatest devotee of the Lord. But this person says, no, I am not the greatest devotee. The king in South India, he is the greatest devotee. And he is giving the reasons why he is the greatest devotee. Because he is saying that I am a Brahmana, my occupation is to worship. But he is a Kshatriya, he is a warrior. His business is to rule the kingdom. But in spite of that, the way he is serving the Lord, that makes him the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni goes to him and he points out, no, I am not the greatest devotee. Indra is the greatest devotee. Then he goes to Indra, he says, Brahma is the greatest devotee. He goes to Brahma, Brahma says, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. Then he goes to Lord Shiva, and Shiva says, no, I am not the greatest devotee. The residents of Vaikuntha are the greatest devotee. And Parvati said, among the residents of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee. Then Narad Muni is about to go to Vaikuntha. Then Lord Shiva says, even greater than the residence of Vaikuntha is Prahlad. His devotion is even greater than the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. He goes to Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj said, I am not the greatest devotee. What kind of devotion you saw in me? Well, as a child, I developed some attachment to the Lord. But devotion means service. Expression of the devotion is through service. Look, the kind of service Hanuman rendered. He is the greatest devotee. And he goes to Hanuman, and when he tells him that he is the greatest devotee, Hanuman points out to the Pandavas as the greatest devotee. He goes to the Pandavas, they point out the residents of Dwarka as the greatest devotee. He goes to Dwarka, they say Uddhav is the greatest devotee. Uddhav says, no, the residents of Vrindavan are the greatest devotee. And in this way, in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani's position has been established as the greatest of all. So in a very systematic way, Sanatana Goswami established the different levels of devotion, and out of that, Srimati Radharani's position is the most exalted. But apparently, Krishna's relationship with Radharani is arranged with all kinds of impediments. Sometimes devotees feel bad. Why King Vrishabhanu had to get her married to to this Abhimanyu. General feeling is, why not with Krishna? But this is Jogamaya's divine arrangement to enhance Krishna's pastimes. And the understanding is that although Radharani was apparently married to Abhimanyu, he could never touch her. He never touched her. That is the pastimes of Krishna. And not only she is married to somebody else, but there's a big impediment there in the form of Abhimanyu's mother and sister. The mother-in-law, Radharani's mother-in-law and sister-in-law. And their business is just to prevent her from meeting Krishna. They suspect that something is going on, but they couldn't catch them red-handed. And they're trying. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami is describing an anecdote. That one day, Abhimanyu went away to some distant place, and taking advantage of that, Krishna came in the form of Abhimanyu. So Abhimanyu's mother, seeing him, asked, "What happened? You are supposed to be away, like you came back?" And he said, "Mother, I was missing you so much. I thought I'll do the job later on sometime. I'll just come back to you." So Jyotila was very happy. She said, "No, okay, good. Go home. Go inside. Relax." So he goes to the inside of the house. In the meantime, real Abhimanyu comes back. And Jyotila asks, "Who are you?" And he says, "Mother, you can't recognize me. I'm your son." So Jyotila picks up a broom and starts to beat him up, saying, "Yes, you are my son. This kind of son that you are." And then finally, when they got to know that who is the real Abhimanyu and who is the fake Abhimanyu, then they go inside, and in the meantime, Krishna as Abhimanyu ran away. So in this way, they see that something is going on between Krishna and Radharani, but they cannot catch. They're just waiting, someday if we can catch them, then we can prove to the world what's going on. Then one day, Kutila, Abhimanyu's sister, she heard some voice, some talking is going on. She could hear something from Radharani's room. She came close to the room and eavesdropped, and she was completely convinced this is Krishna. So she thought, now I am going to catch them. But as soon as she opened the door, Krishna just jumped out of the window and ran away. She saw Krishna running away, but she couldn't catch him. Again, another chance has been lost of catching Krishna. But this time, she found something. She saw that on the bed, Krishna forgot his flute. In a hurry, Krishna forgot the flute. So she said, "Okay, I caught you today." So she took the flute, dragged Radharani to the courtyard, called everybody, and started to explain, started to describe what actually happened, how that today she caught her red-handed. So Radharani, with her head bending down, shedding tears. At that time, Purnamasi came there and said, "What happened? Why my Radhika is crying? And why did you all gather here like this?" So Kutila very elaborately started to describe what happened. And Purnamasi started to laugh. Kutila got very upset. Such a serious matter, and you're laughing. Then Purnamashi said, "Don't you know that last night there was a shower of flutes?" Kutila, let's go to your bedroom. I went to Kutila's bedroom and found 3 flutes there on the bed. Jyotila, let's go to your bedroom. There were 12 flutes on her bed. So this is how Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan. But Radharani feels very bad that people are thinking that she is unchaste. But she can't help it. She can't help but love Krishna with all her existence. Therefore she decided, okay, I'll give up my body. It's pointless maintaining this body. Maybe in my next life I'll be born. I'll be able to be with Krishna all the time. Krishna at that time understood what was going on. He was on the lap of Mother Yashoda. And all of a sudden Krishna fainted. And Mother Yashoda screamed, "What happened to my child?" Everyone came running, Nanda Maharaj came running, and Mother Yashoda started to tell him, "Please go and get a doctor quickly, see my son, what happened." He became unconscious. "It seems that there is no sign of life in his body." So Nanda Maharaj just ran out of the house, and fortunately he saw one doctor there, coming this direction. So he asked him, "Are you a doctor?" Actually in the Vedic culture, by dress you can make out what's one's occupation. The Brahmanas would dress in a certain way, Kshatriyas would dress in a certain way, and so forth. So he, from his dress, he could recognize that he was an Ayurvedic doctor. So he asked him, he told him that, "Look, my son all of a sudden fainted. So can you please do something about it?" He said, "Don't worry. I can even make a dead man alive." And so he came, checked Krishna, and he said, "It's a very serious condition. There is only one remedy for this. The remedy is water from Jamuna." And everyone said, "Jamuna water, there's plenty of it, we'll get it." He said, "No, no, not just water from Jamuna. This water has to be carried in a bucket with thousands of holes in it." So then everyone said, "How is it possible? How is it possible to carry water in a bucket that has so many holes in it?" He said, "Yes, I know it is practically impossible, but only a chaste woman can carry water in this bucket." So Mother Yashoda said, "Okay, then I'll take the bucket and get it." He said, "No, no, if the mother does it, then it won't work." So different ladies and girls of Vrindavan tried, but as soon as they lifted the bucket from the water, all the water drained out. So this doctor said, "Very serious situation. It seems that there is no chaste woman in Vrindavan. Anyway, let me see." So he made some astrological